Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're
And we're.
sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Have you
That was
heard our theme
perfect.
song?
It's been a while.
It's not a carousel. Did you guys,
Okay.
do you like the names that I picked for you guys?
Yes.
I just see Bailey.
Oh.
Oh, you can see under it?
No.
I think you're probably not full screen.
Mission Saint Candyman.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Bailey, are you familiar with the show Psych?
Yes. I haven't watched all of it, but yes.
This is a Psych-themed nickname generator. Every
Fun.
time, like, you know how Sean just makes up names for Gus?
Yes.
There you go. Dr. T.T.
Oh.
Pennywhistle,
Hey.
Mission Saint Candyman, and Ovaltine of Fancy Bottom.
I was wondering if Bailey was Mission Saint Candyman or Mission Street Candyman.
Saint. Funny enough, I am surrounded by candy.
There you
Yeah.
So it's real. Okay. Go
And
birds.
Lacey's extra T is for the extra talent.
Is she extra?
Yes.
It's from
You
the
can tell
show.
by the T's.
Okay. Well, today we're going to be talking about David Carpenter. Carpenter. Carp. Yeah.
Is he related to Sabrina?
I don't think so. I hope not.
That would be kind of.
Yeah. Originally, I don't know if you guys were stalking our what episode, like our next episodes or whatever chart. I was gonna do something else, and then I realized I needed to do another killer before them to fully get the arc I wanted.
Oh, you're trying to paint a picture.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm painting a picture,
Huh.
heavily implying something.
I'm gonna go look now at the flow chart and see.
So then I realized I didn't have enough time to do both. So along my research of the original, I came across him and I had never heard of the Trailside Killer, so here we are.
Sorry. I just
You
saw
saying
something.
it?
Well, I see. Do you not want me to say the name or do you not care? It's like a teaser for people to keep coming back.
You can say his name.
Are you talking about Mr. Gacy?
I am talking about Mr. Gacy.
I gasped because I saw Alcala on here and I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah, I was also close to seeing about doing him instead of Gacy. And then I figured it's gonna be a long episode or a lot of research,
I
so.
really love that you and I have like a list of people we want to do.
You're lucky I had one on there.
And someone else is
Hers are
Allowed
very
to it's very
secretive.
week by week.
Here's the thing. When I find a case or something I want to do, I
On the list.
guess, well, no, I'm competitive and I'm like, well, I want to do this and I don't want anyone else to do it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So
I
that's why I
do.
put it on the list.
I have like a separate list of like just on my phone of like potentials when I hear about things. But then a lot of times I'll forget about the flowchart, but I try to remember because the one time when I did a case and when Drew opened up the slideshow, she was like, Lacey, I already had that on the flowchart.
Yeah.
And now I try to remember and go and put like at least my next one and see what you guys are doing. But I also forget.
Well, you've learned your lesson now.
I have.
Right, so let's get into it. David Carpenter was born May 6, 1930, in San Francisco, California.
He's a tourist.
He is. His father Elwood and his mother Frances weren't, let's call it ideal parents.
Ugh, what else is
Okay.
new?
They never are.
No, they really
Yeah.
aren't. Like, when I was reading about him, I was like, are we sure we're talking about the same person? Like, this isn't a bunch of other people I've just read about. Because Elwood, shocker, was an abusive alcoholic. And Frances was domineering and abusive as well.
Why not?
As a young child, David had a severe stutter, so bad that it was very difficult for him to socialize. And of course, as a child, this caused him to be teased and bullied. He was also forced to do ballet and violin lessons as extracurricular activities, which didn't also help the bullying. But I think ballet is beautiful and I love the sound of the violin, so I wouldn't have bullied him. What was I
Kind of you.
saying? Well, I love the violin.
That's like I. When I'm. I told Lou when I. When we're financially stable enough to have hobbies, I would like to learn to play the
Ooh.
violin.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
David started exhibiting signs of the McDonald Triad, or also the homicidal triad. He had bedwetting and engaged in cruelty to animals. Thankfully, I don't have any other like specific information about the cruelty to animals, so we're gonna
Reason.
leave it at that.
Well, it's fine with me. Yeah.
David blossomed in his teens, and at the age of 17, he was sent to jail for the first time.
That's a weird way to get there. He blossomed and was sent to jail.
I yeah
Really came out of his
he
shell.
he also sorry, it's gonna get dark in this episode,
No.
starting now.
Also, what else is new?
I know. He went to jail at 17 for molesting his two younger cousins.
Ugh.
One of them was 8 and one was 3.
Oh, ah.
Is
And
it the lighting?
because it was like the 40s and stuff, he was released after a year.
Sure.
Sure.
And learned his lesson and continued molesting children.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and completely
That's
stop.
the end of the show.
He did great.
Was a quick little mini 7-minute episode.
We love a turnaround.
What we'll see actually is David gets many opportunities to turn it around, and he's probably the like
Bad at
no, he's like the worst case for how the system doesn't work and it's not rehabilitation.
Is it just like learning to not do the same thing over and over again?
He just gets worse and like prison doesn't change anything.
Great.
All right, talk us through it.
So in 1955, at the age of 25, he got married to a 19-year-old, Ellen Heddle. Together they had 3 children. They had Michael David in 1956, Gabrielle Louise, 1958. Oh, I forgot to figure out how do they say their third child's name. It's CIRCE.
Cersei?
Mercy?
Circe? Okay.
That would be my guess.
Then they had Circe Ann in 1960. I didn't know that name was that old. I thought Circe came from like Game of Thrones or something. Their marriage was not perfect. Later, Ellen would tell authorities that her husband was a sex addict who demanded sex at least 3 times a night,
Exhausting.
which is a lot.
Three
He
times
made
a
a
night?
yeah. That's really
Okay.
getting into the sleep schedule, and it's now showing that women need like 8 to 10 hours of sleep. He made a
Okay.
living working various jobs as a salesman and a printer. He also served in the Coast Guard and was honorably discharged.
Scored?
Coast Guard. In 1960, he lured a coworker into the woods.
Well, I don't
You
love
can go to
the lore.
Go into the next 2 slides, Drew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'll take care of it.
Lois DeAndrine Rena, who actually goes on to have a daughter who was one of the
Is this him?
reality. Yeah.
Whose sweater is he wearing?
I don't know. So Lois went on to actually have a daughter who is one of the stars in not Desperate Housewives, but one of those reality
Orange
TV
County.
shows. Maybe, I don't know. Google her, you'll see. I didn't write it down.
Think Lucy's. Who's Lucy? I think Lacey is doing that.
In July 1960, David had his third child and invited Lois over to come to meet the new baby. They were co-workers at this point. She was a little apprehensive, but after hearing that like his wife was indeed going to be present and she felt a little bit better about visiting, she agreed. He picked her up at a bus stop and started heading towards his home until he took a detour down a deserted road. He attacked her, attempted to rape her, and kill her. He bound her with clothesline, and he stabbed her in the hand and hit her in the head repeatedly with a hammer.
Jesus.
Lois, she does survive this. She went on to say, "I thought that was it. He was straddling me. He had a hammer in one hand and a knife in the other." Thankfully, a military patrolman, Wayne Hicks, discovered the attack when he noticed them turn down the de desert, desert, deserted road that no one was supposed to be on. When Carpenter realized Hicks was coming to help, he fired his 44 caliber gun but missed Hicks. This gave Hicks the opportunity to return fire, and he hit Carpenter in the stomach and the leg.
Did he die? And that was the end of the story?
Unfortunately, no. Carpenter was sentenced to 14 years in federal prison for one count of assault with intent to commit murder and two counts of assault with a deadly weapon. While in prison, his wife divorced him, thank God. He was found to have a psychopathic personality by the prison psychiatrists and to have an IQ of 125. Now, again, he was sentenced 14 years. He was released after 7.
Yeah, sure.
So
I'm
the
sure he was
problem,
rehabilitated.
yeah, the problem, and 'cause this isn't the only time he goes to prison and gets out, I think. He's a model prisoner in prison because his
There's no
victim pool isn't
victim.
there. So he would be fine and then get on probation and then go right back to what he was doing previously. In 1970, did you have something to say?
This is reminding me of somebody else.
In 1970, in the span of a couple weeks, he went kind of on an unhinged spree. All in one day, on January 27th, 1970, he forced Cheryl Lynn Smith out of her car by hitting it with his own. He then tried to rape her. When I don't have pictures of all the victims.
Okay.
He then stabbed her before she got away, and she was able to remember his license plate.
Good for her.
After that attack, he then broke into Wilma Joyce's home, kidnapped her, raped her, and stole her car.
What's his problem?
He really hates women.
Why?
I don't know.
We didn't even do anything to him.
2 days later, on January 29th, Sharon O'Donnell was held at gunpoint from him but managed to escape. And then on February 3rd, he abducted and raped a woman named Barbara while her infant child was with her. He didn't harm the
Ridiculous.
child, and Barbara did survive. He was arrested fairly quickly after these attacks. While awaiting trial, he tried to escape with four other inmates but was caught. He then made a plea bargain, which, why are we allowing him to plead out when he literally just tried to escape?
I was gonna
Right, plus he's
say,
been in jail twice already.
he feels like a bit of a flight risk, if anything.
Yeah. So he made a plea bargain and was convicted of robbery and kidnapping and was paroled to a halfway house in May 1979. So, like, 9-ish years later.
Was he rehabilitated this time?
I have a guess about that.
Well, in during the well in the halfway house, he took courses in computer printing in the California at the California State School and obtained a degree and got a job at a, as a typesetter instructor, which I don't know what that means.
Typesetter. I
Something
think
to
it
do with
was
printing.
before. Yeah. What year did you? About when are we?
We're in 1979.
Okay. I don't know if I'm right then because I feel like I'm thinking farther back, but it used to be a job that before we could print things so quickly, Somebody would literally have to like arrange all the letters and shit, like to print each page of a book.
You
But
mean
I
like a
don't think
printing
that's,
press?
yeah, but like they would have to like
Put the
page by
letters.
page do it. But I
Yeah.
think that was before the
Sounds
70s, so.
exhausting. Well, I just Googled it, and that's exactly what it says.
Oh, look
Oh.
at me. Cool.
Okay. So again, he got out in 1979.
Although, typesetting lasted from 1800 to about 1950. Oh. You keep going. I'm researching typesetting.
Drew's learning.
Okay. So August 19th, 1979, same year he just got out of prison again, Edna Crane, who's 44, and was taking an afternoon hike in the trails of Mount T sorry. Someone help me with this word. Hold on. Drew, to go through some of the slides. Go next one. How do you say that?
Tamal pies?
Tamaltize? Okay, great.
No, tamal pies.
One more time, you cut out.
Tamal pies?
Tamalapies?
Without the
No?
tamal pies.
Tamalpies.
I think so. I'm
Okay.
gonna look it up.
Okay. She was hiking on the trails of Mount Tamalpais, which overlooks San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge, which that's the view. Looks gorgeous. She failed to return home after her hike, and her husband called the police and reported her missing. Police mobilized, and several officers and canine units went out looking for an initial search, but ended up with no clues.
Yeah, I'd go hiking there.
The second search began, and the
Where is
next
it?
then we're in San Francisco.
That's what I thought. Okay.
'Cause you know the Golden Gate Bridge right there.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I was really hoping that it would be closer.
It's on the other side of the country, unfortunately. More reason to go. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of beautiful scenery that he decides to
Ruin.
yeah. So during the second search that began the next day at dawn, Edna's naked body was discovered in a kneeling position. Her killer had stood behind her and shot her once in the head, execution style. Investigators found that the killer had rummaged through her purse and stolen her credit cards and a pair of sunglasses. She was not sexually assaulted.
That's small miracles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also seems kind of weird for him because hasn't he done it to like every woman he's fucking encountered?
Pretty much.
So he killed her without assaulting her first?
Apparently.
Huh.
Maybe it's more of like he wants something from them, and
Hmm.
most of the time it's sex, but this time it was the credit cards.
Not.
It's also possible that this was like his actual like first murder, and maybe he just wanted to get it over with.
Or he like freaked out.
Yeah. October 21st of the same year, 1979, Mary Frances Bennett was 23 and out for a jog near the Palace of Legion of Honor at Land's End. Keep going.
I saw that.
Which it looks like a pretty monument like building that like overlooks some stuff. So she was hiking or jogging through there. She was captured and mutilated and stabbed 25 times. Supposedly her long
Lacey and I are both so confused by you.
Oh, agonizing, that's the word.
Oh, okay. Sound it out.
Shut up. Her long, agonizing screams could be heard by nearby golfers, but they
Yeah.
didn't take them seriously and ignored them. Classic bystander effect.
Yeah, why would you?
She was found buried in a shallow grave under a layer of dirt and branches by a group of hikers following a blood trail. Mary grew up in Deer Lodge, Montana, and had recently moved out to San Francisco after graduating from accounting school in Montana. In 2012, it was confirmed that Carpenter attacked her through matching DNA.
So he was
1980.
messy.
Yeah. March 8th, 1980, Barbara Schwartz, 23, was out hiking with her dog when Carpenter leapt out from behind a tree and attacked her. She was stabbed 12 times with a boning knife. During the attack, an eyewitness ran to get help after they noticed Carpenter attack her with the knife. When the eyewitness led police back, the attacker was gone, but they had a general description of the killer. Unfortunately, the description was pretty inaccurate, but when they searched the scene, they discovered a pair of bifocal glasses, prison-issued glasses.
Good clue.
How do you
Days
leave the
after the
crime scene
murder,
without your glasses? That's a weird thing to leave behind.
he's in a frenzy.
Yeah.
Well, they see, so he was clearly seeing red, or he blacked out, so he couldn't tell that he couldn't see without his
It's fair.
glasses.
It's very accurate. Days after the murder, a pair of boys found the 25-centimeter boning knife that was covered in Schwartz's blood. In October of that year, 1980, again, Ann Alderson, 26, was walking in the woods at the same state park above the Golden Gate Bridge. At some point, she ran into Carpenter, who raped her, shot her in the back of the head 3 times. She wasn't found until the following year out by a passing walker. She too was found in the kneeling position.
He switches up his weapon of choice.
He does. He goes between like a knife or a gun
But
and
so
uses both times.
the shooting victims were both in the execution file, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know.
So Anne was murdered on October 15th, 1980. November 28th, 1980, Diane O'Connell, 22, was in a group of three hikers and was second in the group coming down the trail. When the group arrived at the bottom, they noticed that Diane was nowhere to be seen. Supposedly between 3:10 and 3:20 p.m., hikers in the park reported hearing several gunshots.
So, hold on, wait. She was second in a group of three?
Yeah, so I think it was three friends. First one was going down, Diane was second, and then her friend behind her. And they must have like had different paces or something.
Because she disappeared from the middle of them? That's what I was hung up on.
So rangers and volunteers combed the park. During the search, they saw a shoe sticking out of some ferns. There, they found the bodies of a different young couple,
Oh, shit.
laying face down in the underbrush. Rick Stowers, 19, and Cindy Moreland, who is 18, were both shot in the head. They were out in the woods on October 11th, so the month prior, hiking at Point Reyes National Park. There should be a photo of this. They were planning on getting married. Stowers was stationed with the Coast Guard, and Moreland just graduated high school.
That would have been
Showcase.
a lovely venue for a wedding.
Yeah. Later that day, still searching, Diane O'Connell and another woman were discovered nearby the couple. Diane was face down in the ground. She was found with a pair of underwear stuffed in her mouth and nose, while leaving another pair of blood-stained underwear on her arm. She was strangled with a narrow piece of wire or cord.
So the second, party of three goes missing, and they've found three bodies thus far?
Four. I'm about to get to the fourth.
And do this might be getting ahead, but we believe that Carpenter is responsible.
We know he is.
All right, Lacey, national parks, man.
I've not been to this one.
Okay.
I actually didn't even know that that was one.
There are a ton of national parks.
There are.
They're so big.
I used to think that it was just like Yellowstone and Yosemite.
Yeah, there's
But
so many.
yeah.
So the fourth body discovered was a woman. Her name was Shauna May. She was 25. And her and Diana were both shot in the head. Shauna's body showed ligature marks on her wrists, and her body contained semen in her vagina and her anus. No semen was found on Diana's body, but it was determined that she was raped. It was also determined that neither woman knew each other, so therefore it was concluded that Carpenter must have taken one woman first, and then the other woman happened on the attack by chance and fell victim as well.
What's his
Problem.
yeah. No, what's his like count thus far? I feel like it's
Uncomfortably high.
yeah.
Two, four, six, eight. Nope, counting wrong. Hold on a second.
Is he
Four.
living in the woods and just
No.
attacking people as they walk by, or he's like, I'm gonna go out to this trail today and kill somebody.
Yeah.
Wow.
For murders, he's at eight.
He kind of sucks.
Yeah. We're getting to the point of he gets caught though. So,
Oh, well, I would
like,
hope so. It sounds like he's pretty messy. He's just
yeah. So, February 1981, Ellen Hansen, who was 20, and Stephen Hartle was also 20. We're walking across the Santa Cruz Mountains while on spring break from UC Davis. They came across Carpenter in the Henry Caldwell Redwood State Park, which I'm assuming is all the redwoods, like the giant trees in California. He told them that he wanted to rape Ellen, and after sexually assaulting her, he shot them both. Steve managed to survive despite being shot in the chest, while Ellen was shot to death. Steve was able to provide a very clear description of Carpenter that would later help them out.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can you kind of like just go over the beginning bit?
So Ellen and Steven are walking through the forest,
Sure.
looking through stuff. Carpenter sees them, approaches them, says, "I want to rape Ellen."
So, okay. Sorry. This is where I'm gonna hung up. Couple just walking through the redwoods, and he comes up and he's like, "Hey, I'd like to rape her." And Steve is like, nah.
Well, I think so, yes. Carpenter also had a gun, so
Oh,
I don't
that is
know if like
motivating.
he shot Steve first, then raped her and then killed her, or what.
I
The gun
thought,
makes it a little bit easier to understand.
yeah,
I thought Steven just stepped back and was like, do what you gotta
No,
do and then get
he
out of
tried to
here.
fight Carpenter.
Yeah. My first, what I was picturing in my head at first was he's like, hey, I'd like to rape her. And then he sexually assaulted her and then was just like, all right, time for everybody to die. I gave him like a
No.
weird accent.
I
Yes.
apologize if that's how it sounded, but no, that's
We've
incorrect.
cleared it up.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So
Steven Cruz.
his next and
Please say final.
I like yeah, let's say final that we
Oh,
know
okay.
of. Victim was Heather Skeggs. On May 1st, 1981, she went missing. She's a 20-year-old college student working at a printer place part-time, and gossip around the office was that Carpenter, who was her coworker, was a creep and who wanted to date her.
I feel like I can confirm that gossip.
Yeah. Heather at the time was looking for a car, and she took Carpenter's offer of to drive her to Santa Cruz so she could purchase a car from one of his friends. Dan, her boyfriend, reported her missing when she didn't return that night. So
Okay.
she went missing on the 1st of May. On the 24th of May, same year, hikers in Big Ban Basin Park discovered her nude, decomposing
Decomposing.
corpse. Yeah. Semen was found in her vagina, and the autopsy proved that she had died from a point blank shot to the face.
Jesus.
Yeah. After Heather's disappearance, investigators formed a multi-agency task force consisting of local law enforcement as well as the FBI. They actually, at this point, had John Douglas profiling. So there's a profile on him from John Douglas, who is like the grandfather of profiling.
How accurate is it?
Do you want me to go through it?
Okay.
Okay. So he said that he would be familiar with the area, meaning he was a local. He would be shy, a recluse, and may have a speech impediment. It's
Did
pretty
he
dead
have a
on.
speech impediment?
He had a severe stutter when he was a kid.
Oh,
Contrary
what
to what the
animals
local,
do you have?
I think the only thing I could think of is like, because for instance, the beginning of Criminal Minds, when like Gideon is talking about how he got the footpath killer, I feel like it has something to do with how they approach women. Because if you have a speech impediment, I'm assuming you're a little bit more, your self-esteem
Shy.
is low. Yeah, so you're not gonna like charm them like Bundy. So like you
Still,
would
though, what
pop
if
out, yeah.
it's like he could have had, I don't know, self-esteem issues for other reasons. I don't know.
True.
I'm just going to assume it's witchcraft.
Okay. Contrary to what the local psychologists had thought, that the offender was charming and sophisticated and good looking, Douglas said that he would be unsure of himself in social situations. He also chose victims of opportunity rather than focus on a certain victimology. He was white and intelligent with a blue collar job and had spent time in jail. His MO was simply to approach his victims from behind. He would have a history of at least two of the three background indicators of psychopathy. And he also thought that the killer was probably in his 30s and had recently experienced some precipitating stressors, which he was wrong. He was a little high, like a little older than 30s, but
Did
that was
he
his profile on him.
have the stressors?
No,
That's fine.
I don't think
Still
so.
pretty good.
Yeah. So Heather disappeared. They knew that Heather had plans to go somewhere with Carpenter, so that put him at the top of their like suspect list. They also saw that he had prior sexual offenses, so they instantly went to go talk to him. When they spoke with him, they realized that he had a very striking appearance to the description that Stephen, who got away, said that the man looked like. They arrested him, and when they searched his car, they found guides to local hiking trails. They also found a 38 caliber gun that he used in his killings. Witnesses were also able to positively identify him, and he was charged with 5 counts of murder, rape, and attempted rape on July 31st, 1981. Now, for his trial, because this is in Santa Cruz County, there's a lot of publicity, and they were concerned about the like jury and like how like having a fair
Yeah.
trial. So they moved to LA County. Drew, you asked about like what number we were at, about like how many murders he's gotten.
Yeah.
They only charged him for 5, which
Okay.
were the murders of Rick Stowers, Cindy Moreland, Ann Alderson, Diane O'Connell, and Shauna May. These were the cases that were linked together with the same gun, so they had enough evidence to charge him with.
Okay.
He was never charged for the murders of Etta Barbara or Heather due to the lack of evidence.
Okay, but he was punished in the end, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. According to John Posey, the senior director DA of Martin County, who prosecuted him, they called him a masterful manipulator. He was able to like kind of be a chameleon in any situation, and like supposedly when he was on the stand, he would like flip-flop emotions and like try to fake empathy really well. He was found guilty of all five murders. Additional, he got two rape charges, and an attempt of rape as well. And he was sentenced to be executed via gas chamber.
Oh
After he was convicted, his attorney argued that he deserved to be spared the death penalty because of difficulties with his childhood.
yes.
He told reporters his client was a mental mess and a personality damaged human being after suffering at the hands of his abusive parents.
Oh, poor him.
Following the convictions, he was tried and subsequently convicted by Santa Cruz jury for the murders of Ellen Hansen, Heather Sags, and Stephen. Steve, well, the attack of Steve Hartle, also the attempt of rape of Henson and the rape of Sags. But in 1995, the Santa Cruz convictions were overturned due to jury misconduct. Not sure what they did. Thankfully, the California Supreme Court later reinstated those convictions, so he did get punished for those. So he received his sentence on November 16th, 1984, and he remains on death row to this day.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
I
He'll be
don't.
turn he'll be turning 95 this year.
Took them so long
And is the
when I put on
oldest
death row.
he's the oldest death row inmate in California.
I don't like that.
He's gonna die before they even kill him.
I hope that they're really, really mean to him in
Oh,
prison.
he's probably in solitary.
Well, good. That sucks too.
Before that, he kept getting all these shit for being a model prisoner, and now he's a model prisoner and he's an old man. He's probably fine.
He's probably playing with like a mouse or a bird or something. Or
Since
killing
getting
it, really.
caught, he's never admitted to any of his crimes.
Because he didn't do it.
You're right.
Didn't they?
He's suspected in at least two other murders, one of 17-year-old Ann Kelly Mandrar, who went missing in December 28th, 1980. Her remains were found in June the following year at Castle Rock State Park. Friends and families ruled out the idea of her running away, and before her death and disappearance, Carpenter was known to frequent the Continental Savings and Loan where she worked part-time, and there was a witness that said that he saw Carpenter chatting with her the days leading up to her disappearance.
That doesn't prove anything.
You're right. There's
He's
another
a
mis
model citizen.
there's another disappearance of a 19-year-old named Carol Langlin, who worked in the Curry Village gift shop in Yosemite National Park. September 1979, she vanished. Her remains were found at the base of a tunnel near Cookie Cliff months later, in April 1980. The major link is that Carpenter worked for the company that supplied items in the gift shop, but there's no definitive evidence.
I
And
don't feel for him.
my last little fun thing was he was actually considered at one point to be a suspect for the Zodiac Killer investigation.
Oh, yeah.
But he was ruled out since he was in jail during at least one of the confirmed murders, and his fingerprints and handprints didn't match. Or handwriting didn't match. His handwriting and fingerprints didn't match.
Okay.
And that is the very angry, very hateful David Carpenter.
I don't like him.
Not a fan.
So,
I don't like that he's still alive.
yeah, that's like my biggest beef. Like,
Yeah.
he's
Just
supposed
let it be.
to
A llama?
be dead. Thank you.
Should we send him a birthday card in May?
No.
I was kidding. It could be a fuck you card.
I'll send him a birthday card that says, "You're supposed to be dead."
I wonder if he probably has never seen that movie.
Oh, well, sometimes they watch movies in prison. Movie
He
night.
doesn't, they don't deserve to watch Disney in
Although
prison. Okay.
I don't know if he would be allowed to if he was in solitary.
He doesn't deserve Disney. Okay.
No, I agree. He should be dead.
Lacey, any thoughts, questions, concerns,
No, I
comments?
concur with Drew, and I do not like him.
He also just is a very creepy little man.
I was gonna say, he also looks stupid.
Like, I
Like, I
feel like
made
he would
this
just
stupid
like
face.
flick his nose and then he'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hate him.
Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.